Do vitamins and other supplements cause disease and shorten life? Recently, there's been a great deal of media coverage on research which appears to indicate that people who take multiple vitamins, vitamin E, and certain other supplements will actually die sooner. What's going on? Is this even possible? My name is David Getoff. I am a board-certified clinical nutritionist, a board-certified traditional naturopath, a fellow of the American Association of Integrative Medicine. I'm on the faculty of the American College of Integrative Medicine and Dentistry, and I'm the vice president of the Price-Pottinger Nutrition Foundation, a 62-year-old nonprofit foundation in California. What exactly is going on? First of all, let's remember that media bias is always toward the shocking. So in other words, if there's a bunch of information that comes out from research showing that some supplement might help a little bit in the treatment of some condition, you are not as likely to hear it shouted from the rafters and screamed from the news reports and news at 11 and the front page of a magazine, the front page of a newspaper, as you are if it was, say, that a supplement seems to be shortening life or hurting people. That's what they do. Can't help that. Media bias is partially due to advertising dollars, because if you think about it, the advertising that comes into all the TV stations, many of the radio stations, lots of magazines, lots of newspapers, especially TV, they get millions upon millions of dollars of advertising money from the pharmaceutical companies. And so automatically, if the pharmaceutical companies would like them to push something that degrades the use of a supplement, or to not give as much coverage to something that increases the knowledge that supplements might be helpful, then that's probably what's going to happen. Good supplement research, of which there's quite a bit done, does not always get released to the public very well. Again, I believe because of media bias. And when you get down to the people who are supposed to know this, the doctors, dietitians, it gets even worse. Recently, a few years ago, I was at a Scripps Integrative Conference. That's a Scripps conference on integrative medicine. And this was basically a conference for physicians, for medical doctors and osteopaths. And during this conference, where I was there in person, I was actually aghast at what I heard coming out of the mouths of some of the MD, PhD presenters. A couple of them, who had listed themselves as giving a talk on a specific topic. In other words, in our program, it said this particular doctor, MD, MD, PhD, was going to give a talk on, and I'll make something up as an example because I don't have the program in front of me, on the use of, how about ginkgo biloba in the treatment of memory disorders. I picked that because ginkgo is so well researched in helping memory. So, again, this physician gets up there. And he says, well, I know that you see in the program that I'm supposed to be talking about this particular topic, but there isn't really any research on that, so we're going to talk about something else. And he goes into some drugs that can be used instead for the same condition. And I'm thinking, but I've read some of the research that he just said doesn't exist. I started to get a little mad. And then there was another speaker and another speaker, and maybe a few more speakers later, there was yet another speaker who, again, did not stay on topic. He said, yes, I'm supposed to talk about the use of these particular nutrients in the treatment of this disease, but we would never do that. There isn't any research on that, so we're going to go ahead and do this. And again, I believe it wasn't actually on a nutrient, it was on another herb. So I'm busy listening to all this, and the last speaker of the day, last speaker of the conference actually, was Mark Blumenthal. Mark Blumenthal is the head of one of the most highly respected councils in the United States on the use of herbs. It's called the ABC, or the American Botanical Council. And to his credit, he didn't put down these ignorant doctors. Remember, ignorance just means not knowing something. He didn't put them down. He simply proceeded to give us information citing dozens of published research studies in peer-reviewed scientific journals of how well these supplements, including the ones that these other doctors had mentioned there wasn't any research on, had actually been proven to do what those other presenters had said they couldn't find any research on, which of course meant that they didn't really look. So there is often a great deal of research on nutritional supplements, on herbal supplements, etc. And it is not in the interest of the pharmaceutical companies to have us believe that supplements are good. It is in their interest, of course, to have us believe they're dangerous. Even if during any six-year period, according to published research in the mainstream medical journals, approximately 1 million U.S. citizens are killed by taking properly prescribed prescription drugs, and between zero and maybe one or two may have been harmed by adulterated or improperly used nutritional supplements. So one or two as opposed to a million? I urge you to read the article Death by Medicine in the published article section of my website so you can have a better idea of the differences between how supplements are not hurting us and how drugs are hurting us. So let's go into a little bit of this research, and let's talk about some of the ways in which things are being misrepresented. Let's start with vitamin E, since there are a number of supposed studies out there that are showing that the group that took vitamin E didn't live as long, or had more prostate cancer, or had more some other type of cancer. Let's take a quick look at that. First of all, vitamin E is thought to be, by most of the public, and is listed to be by the FDA, one particular vitamin. And that vitamin is D-alpha-tocopherol. Although after it was discovered in Nature many years ago, and the pharmaceutical companies tried to manufacture it, this is standard, by the way, if a new vitamin is discovered, and of course if it's a vitamin, it has to be in nature, also has to be required for long-term health, or it cannot get classified as a vitamin. After it's discovered, the pharmaceutical companies try to manufacture it. That way they won't have to extract it from foods. They can instead make it from chemicals in the lab. So they found this vitamin. They were up to E in the alphabet, and it was named D-alpha-tocopherol, having to do with its actual structure of the molecule. And they tried to make D-alpha-tocopherol in the laboratory. A number of pharmaceutical companies worked on that. And interestingly enough, although on others they have been able to, they were not able to make the D-alpha-tocopherol molecule in the laboratory. They could extract it from food sources, but they couldn't make it. The closest they were able to come was a chemical compound called, or a chemical called DL-alpha-tocopherol. The L stands for levo, or left-handed molecule, and is the exact opposite or mirror image of the way it occurs in nature. The FDA, who gets a lot of their funding from the pharmaceutical companies, and therefore you almost might think they're run by the pharmaceutical companies, decided, well, that's close enough. Even though it is not D-alpha-tocopherol, even though it's the mirror image and therefore the exact opposite, we're going to allow them to call it vitamin E. So natural vitamin E, D-alpha-tocopherol, and then the synthetic vitamin E, DL-alpha-tocopherol, were both allowed to be called vitamin E. Now, what goes further than that, because in order to stabilize an antioxidant, because remember, it's an antioxidant, it wants to do things, it wants to stop oxidation, it was found that they could turn D-alpha-tocopherol, or even the DL-alpha, but that's more stable, so they didn't need to as much, but they could turn it into a different molecule, which was actually, again, a completely different substance. And this was done by esterifying the molecule. So instead of D-alpha-tocopherol, which ends in O-L, they changed it into D-alpha-tocopheryl, which ends in Y-L, which is no longer an antioxidant. And then many years later, they were required, when they sold these products to supplement companies, in order for the supplement company to put it into their vitamins, it had to say, if they were selling D-alpha-tocopheryl, this is not an antioxidant. And the companies would buy it and put it into the vitamin and call it an antioxidant, because it didn't tell the supplement companies that they had to list it and say this is not an antioxidant, only the manufacturer selling it to the supplement company. So we then had many forms of vitamin E. D-alpha-tocopherol, the initial natural antioxidant form. DL-alpha-tocopherol, the synthetic form. D and DL-alpha-tocopheryl, YL, the natural or synthetic form that has been esterified so that it is no longer an antioxidant. And later they found, lo and behold, there are a number of other molecules in the vitamin E complex. Not just D-alpha, but D-gamma, D-delta, and D-beta, plus four tocotrienols, which some people say are part of the tocotrienol complex, and other people say, no, that's a separate complex. For the sake of this talk, we're going to call them separate, and I'm going to call just the tocopherols as vitamin E complex. So slowly over many years, with a lot of the research just being done in the last 5 years, it has been discovered that the gamma tocopherol is the form that seems to be the most beneficial in many different areas having to do with cancer prevention and heart disease, etc. Although, as they occur in nature together, they should be taken together. Well, lo and behold, they have found that if you give somebody a whole bunch of D-alpha, or DL, the synthetic, tocopherol, it unbalances the ratio to gamma and beta and delta tocopherols. So what happens is you give somebody a large amount of D-alpha, which is not the way they would get it in a natural product if they left it alone, and you actually cause a further imbalance because maybe they, you know, already had a little bit of all these from their food, and now you give them a huge amount of one of the four, and so in relationship to the others, the ratio goes way off. And so there are actually a couple of studies out there that show that people taking a lot of alpha tocopherol might cause an issue with them having slightly higher rates of a particular type of cancer. I would not say that that's impossible. That is certainly possible. They didn't get that vitamin E from me, because the only vitamin E that I have ever recommended for 20 years is a product called Unique E from AC Grace. Unique E is the only product on the market, and has been for a long, long time, in which they extract alpha, beta, delta, and gamma tocopherol all together in the same ratio that nature has them and leaves them that way. And so it has more gamma than alpha because that's the way it exists. And anybody doing research with Unique E is likely going to find that it does all the good things that have ever been found to be associated with E and no bad ones. So, you know, again, people get thrown off due to lack of knowledge, and the doctors don't know this, the dietitians don't know this, but then, of course, they don't get taught nutritional information. So let's flip over, and, of course, I would never use a tocopherol, YL, as a separate vitamin E. I would never use the DL form, and I don't even like vitamin E capsules in which there's other ingredients inside the vitamin E, because they usually put soybean oil in there to fill up some of the space. Unique E only has alpha, beta, delta, and gamma tocopherol, and they fill the capsule up with that, and so they don't even need to have some soybean oil added. They simply do a much better job. And no, I'm not on the payroll for AC Grace for Unique E. I'm just telling you the reasons that I love that product. So let's flip off of E for a minute, because I have everybody taking E, and I take it myself. I take two or three Unique E every day with my breakfast and all my other supplements. How about vitamins D and A? How about that ratio? Well, turns out that vitamin D is very, very important. And let me just interject a point here that I haven't said so far that's very, very important. So make sure you understand this. Throughout this entire recording, in any time I am talking about vitamin D, and the necessity for vitamin D, and the benefits for vitamin D, and the research on vitamin D, I am only talking about the natural form, that's vitamin D3. I am not talking about vitamin D2 or any other of the analogs. I am talking only here about natural vitamin D, which is vitamin D3. And when I use it in my practice, since it's an oil-based vitamin, I only use the vitamin D3 in an oil form. In other words, it's not a powder in a capsule. It's not a dry tablet. It's an oily liquid inside a soft gel where you could puncture it and squeeze it out and you would get an oily liquid coming out. Vitamin D3 in its natural oil-based form is the only way I use it. And when I'm talking about vitamin D, I'm only talking about D3. And most people are severely deficient in vitamin D, according to the scientists of the Vitamin D Research Council. And you can get onto the Vitamin D Research Council website and take a look at some of the research and a whole bunch of other information. And what they found is that what it says on the lab test, that we should have a vitamin D level of what's called 25-hydroxy vitamin D, and that's a U.S. number that they're giving, because you have to be careful. Vitamin D in the United States is measured in nanograms per milliliter. Vitamin D in Canada and Europe is measured in nanomoles per liter. So the numbers I am giving here on this recording are for U.S. lab tests only. You have to convert it if you're looking somewhere else. The U.S. lab tests say that your number should be between about 30 and 80 or 30 and 100 on the 25-hydroxy vitamin D test. Well, it turns out, according to the research, that a level of 30 will not protect you very well against all the various different conditions for which a larger amount of vitamin D can lower your risk factors. According to the people on the Vitamin D Research Council, you actually need to have your vitamin D quite a bit higher than that. And when they checked the American public, I believe it was the American and Canadian public, I think 95% of us had less than what they believed we should have for health. And this is the council's belief that everybody should have at least 45 nanograms per milliliter on that test. And that's not what most people have. Most people have somewhere between 0 and 30. So although the lab test that the doctor looks at says anything between 30 or 32 and 100 is fine, the Vitamin D Research Council scientists and the research they've done appears to show that we should really be between 50 and 80 would be good. I usually want my patients to be between 55 and 80 on that test. Well, some of the research scientists have said, oh, but you have to be careful. If you take a bunch of vitamin A, then it might cause osteoporosis. No, wrong. You're looking at it wrong. That's not the way to look at it. Vitamin A and vitamin D are used by the body together in a similar way that alpha, beta, delta, and gamma tocopherols in vitamin E are used together. And so if you take more vitamin A, the body then has the ability to use more of the vitamin D that it has, and it will use more, and as it uses more, your level goes down. It's sort of like a general contractor coming to your house and taking a look outside, and there's a whole bunch of wood and a whole bunch of nails and screws, and they start working. And when they've finished with as many nails and screws as they have supplied, they still have a lot of wood left over. Well, they can't use that wood until they get more nails and screws. So somebody brings in a whole bunch more nails and screws, and now they can use the wood. Did bringing them more nails and screws cause a deficiency of wood? That's not the way I would want to use the English language to go over this. It simply allowed them to use more of the wood that was already there. So the body uses A and D in a lot of the same places, and if it doesn't have enough A, it can't use all the D it has. You bring in some A, let's say somebody takes 10,000 units a day of vitamin A, such as I do, every day, and sometimes more, then the body can use more of the vitamin D that I have in me, and so I have to make sure that I have enough D so that they can both be used. Well, that's easy. You run the vitamin D test every 6 months for a couple of years. It's not that expensive. And you make sure that with the amount of everything you're taking, your D level is sitting between 55 and 80. And if it does, you're fine. But instead, the Vitamin D Council, because they also have blinders on, says, oh, don't take any A. It might cause a D deficiency. No more than taking more nails and screws is going to cause a wood deficiency. It will allow your body to do more of the things it wants to do with the vitamin D, and yes, you might have to take more D also. Well, now, of course, a lot of people, especially if there are medical doctors that are listening to what I'm saying here, and I hope there are, because I have a lot of MDs that take my classes, and, of course, that are at the conferences that I'm paid to lecture at, some people will say, but I was taught in medical school that vitamin A is toxic, and you have to be careful not to take too much vitamin A. It can hurt people. Do I agree with that? Well, I would have to agree with that because that's the fact. I don't disagree with facts. Can too much vitamin A hurt somebody? Yes, it can. What does it do? The standard effects of too much vitamin A are headaches and hair loss. What happens when you get those and you realize, oh, that might be the vitamin A I'm taking too much of, and you stop the A? All of the symptoms go away, the body regenerates, and there are no lasting effects. Huh. Wish drugs could make that happen. Somebody has lasting effects of drugs and their kidneys shut down, they need a kidney transplant. Their liver shuts down, they need a liver transplant. Or worse yet, they die. With the vitamin A, all the problems vanish. and there's no lasting effects. But let's look at the doses, because we're talking about vitamins being good or bad for us. And vitamin A, at one of these days, is going to be one of the ones attacked. So I'm going to bring it in here. So I'm going to open up the current edition of the Merck Manual, which is the 18th edition. I had to buy one. The doctors get these free. And we're going to go to page 36. And I'm looking under the heading, hypervitaminosis A. That's, in other words, an overdose of vitamin A. I'm not going to read the entire thing. There's too many copyright restrictions, and I don't want Merck to get after me for violating their copyrights. I'm just going to read a small amount that is not really a copyright violation. And they're talking about the amount of vitamin A that it would take for an older child or an adult to possibly develop a problem. Remember, with vitamins, you will not be able to develop a problem from taking a vitamin that your body badly needs and it's using it up as fast as you're taking it. In other words, if your body needed 100,000 units of vitamin A for the next 4 months to get your immune system working and to help reduce your cancer risk, then it would not cause any problem at all for you, even though maybe for somebody else who eats a lot of liver and already gets some vitamin A, it might, because your body's using it up. So how much vitamin A would somebody have to take if they're an adult or an older child? And the reason they list it that way in Merck is because it has to do with body weight. And so an older child or an adult, we're usually talking about an individual that weighs somewhere between 140 and 200 pounds. So now I'm reading. Chronic toxicity in older children and adults. And let me put a side note in here. Chronic means what will happen if you do it for a long time. So they're talking about how much vitamin A would somebody have to take for a long time before it causes any kind of issue. So again, chronic toxicity in older children and adults usually develops after doses above 100,000 units a day have been taken for months. So that's right out of Merck. That means that if it's going to develop at all, and I have cancer patients that can be on that dose for way more than that, but if it's going to develop at all, you would have to take over 100,000 units for many months before there'd be a problem. If you're only taking 25,000 units or 50,000 units, you might be able to take them for the next 10 years or certainly the next 6, 8, 10, 12 months. If you're taking 25,000 units, you'd probably never get an overdose. Your body would be using it up, and if your body could talk, it would say, oh, thank you, ma'am, thank you, sir. You don't eat very much of any liver, and so I've been deficient in vitamin A for all these years. So we just covered a little bit on vitamin A and vitamin D. And by the way, you should get a vitamin D test, 25-hydroxyvitamin D, and you should take it daily, not a large amount once a week. That's a bogus way of doing this that the doctors have been taught. You want to take an amount every day. Let's say you take, let me give you an amount for an adult. Let's say you take between 3,000 and 5,000 international units of vitamin D a day. You take that every day for 3 to 4 months, and then you get your vitamin D level retested. You get it retested because first you got it tested to see if you were deficient. If you were below, in my eyes, 50, you're deficient. In the doctor's eyes, you have to be below 30. But if you're below 50, you're deficient. I want my patients to be between 55 and 80. And so now you take between 2,500 or 3,000 and 5,000 a day. Every day for 3 to 4 months, you test it again. If now you are between, let's say, 55 and 80, then that's the daily amount your body is using up in order to hold you there. So you continue to take it. Because if you stop, within 6 or 8 months, you can go right back to where you were before. It takes 3 to 4 months to get you to the new level that amount will hold you at if you keep taking it. So now you're taking that amount. Well, maybe you take 5,000 a day, and after 3 months, you're still too low. Well, take another couple thousand. Do that for 3 months. When you finally find, that's where I should be, that's the amount you continue. And if you want to retest it every 6 months, once or twice a year to make sure, and it's sitting in that range, and then you say, okay, this is really the amount I need. So let's switch over to multiple vitamins. Now, that's a broad term. That's sort of like saying wood is one of the best materials to build a deck, just telling people multiple vitamins are good or bad for you. We just say wood. That's as vague as multiple vitamins. So you tell your general contractor, I want you to make a deck, and I don't want you to use one of those synthetics. I want you to make it out of wood. And your general contractor has a sense of humor, and he makes your deck out of balsa wood. For those of you who don't know what balsa wood is, look it up on the web. So he makes it out of balsa wood, and the first person that stands up and walks out onto the deck falls right through, because balsa wood is a very, very soft wood. And he did what you said. He made it out of wood. But wood is not a sufficient descriptive term, just as multivitamins is not a sufficient descriptive term. So when they say multivitamins, when they're talking about research that appears to show that people that were taking multivitamins in this study or that study either didn't live quite as long or had more of some problems, what multivitamins? And remember, these are generally written or telephone surveys, and they're simply asking in writing or by phone, often in writing, whether a person uses a multiple vitamin. Well, that's a very inaccurate way of telling you what the person is taking. That's as bad as saying wood. That's as bad as you telling your best friend, here's a bunch of money, go out and buy me a wheeled vehicle. And you were just being cute because you knew that they knew that your car had just died. You had to buy a new one. And so you meant that they should go get you a good quality car, like a Honda or a Nissan or a Toyota or some other car. And they came back with a skateboard or a bicycle because those are both wheeled vehicles. That's how different multiple vitamin products can be from one another. Maybe most of the people in the study were taking one of the better known multivitamins out there, Centrum Silver, which according to its label, which I have in front of me, contains FD&C Blue No. 2 Aluminum Lake, FD&C Red No. 40 Aluminum Lake, FD&C Yellow No. 6 Aluminum Lake, all of which contain heavy metals, like mercury, arsenic, cadmium, nickel. How much, I couldn't tell you. But according to the FDA website, they tell you how much heavy metals, how many heavy metals in parts per million are allowed to be in each of those FD&C food colorings. I won't consume anything or put anything on my body that contains an FD&C food coloring. Some mouthwashes have it. A lot of others do. Also looking at the label for Centrum Silver, and this is 2013, December, so, in case it's 2014, maybe they changed it, I doubt it. It also contains synthetic vitamin E. It also contains polyethylene glycol, that's automotive antifreeze, and a whole bunch of other chemicals that I would not put in my body. Certainly, a whole bunch of things that would never be found in the better multiple vitamins, such as Super Nutrition's excellent brand of products that I use with many of my patients and I recommend to my students. There are many low-quality and low-potency products and many high-quality products available, not just the two I mentioned. My point is that asking people in a study whether they're taking a multiple vitamin and then saying that, gee, the people that said they were had a higher level of such and such, particular condition. And by the way, the levels are usually tiny. They're barely even significant. But maybe the multi really was causing it. Maybe it was the toxic substances in the garbage multis they were taking. That's like saying that a study of gas barbecue grills showed that they generally fall apart after as little as 1 year of hard use, without also telling you that they were only studying the cheapest Chinese-made barbecue grills, and they were never testing things like Weber, which are the good ones. And therefore, they give Weber a bad name because people didn't realize that the others weren't being studied. So in other words, wood is not the same as all multivitamins are not the same, and all barbecue grills are not the same, and all cars are not the same. As a matter of fact, I recently was speaking to Gary Collins, who used to be an FDA investigator. He told me that if the public knew how many of the nutritional supplements currently being sold on both eBay and on Amazon were counterfeit, they would probably go back to buying them from their health food stores. I have put this article here as a PDF for you to read by Gary Collins. So if you go back to wherever you clicked on that you're listening to this, it should say Gary Collins counterfeit supplement article. So some thousands of people die every year from taking aspirin and Tylenol, causing liver to fail, kidneys to fail. Personally, I would be far more worried about taking almost any drug, even an aspirin, than I would be about taking any good quality nutritional supplement from a reliable non-counterfeit source in a manner in which it is supposed to be used, or in the way in which it was directed by a trusted, nutritionally savvy health practitioner, which in general would not include most physicians or most dietitians because they are not taught any of this. So, this is just my little going over of some of the stuff in the media that's trying to turn people away from nutritional supplements, when in general, you'd really be much better off being very wary and taking great care before you take a pharmaceutical drug. My patients and my students often will get online and read all of the side effects, all the contraindications for the drug their doctor just prescribed, and then make their own decision, because, again, unless you happen to be in prison or in a locked psychiatric ward, the doctor doesn't really give you a prescription and mandate that you take it. This is just something I like all of my students to understand. When I ask somebody, why are you taking the drugs you're taking? And they say, because my doctor put me on them. That's something that has come to be the way we look at medicine in this country. I simply want people to understand that if you are not in a locked ward in a psych unit, and you are not in prison, the reason you are taking all of the various different drugs that you're taking, whatever they may be, I need you to look at that and understand that the reason is because your physician wrote you a note called a prescription that gave you the right legally to have a pharmacist give you those toxic substances. That's the reason you need a note. And that you decided to take them because the doctor said he thought or she thought you should. Take it upon yourself and give yourself that power. Make sure you know you are taking the drugs because you trust your doctor and you believe you should take them, not because he put you on them or she put you on them. They are just giving you the rights to take them. It's still up to you. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take them. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what the drugs are. There are a lot of drugs out there that are doing very good things for many different people. All I'm saying is, look at drugs before you look at supplements as far as things that might hurt you, and you will in general be better off in your health for the rest of your life. If you want a whole bunch more information on nutritional supplements, you can purchase my DVD on nutritional supplements, but not for me. I have no time to do that. There's nothing for sale on my website. You would have to go to the Price Pottinger Nutrition Foundation to get any of my products. Best of wishes to all of you for a healthy, happy, very long, disease-free, and zero-drug-required life. That's my goal. I will be 62 in a few months. I have never been on any long-term prescription drugs, and I will do anything in my power to keep myself healthy enough that I never need to be. Thank you for having the interest in your health to listen to and gather information from my website. Have a great life.